Mishnah Yomi, we are learning Maseches Peah. We are in the fourth perek. Mishnah Zayin. Hikdish kama upada kama chayev. A person sanctified for the base of Mikdash their standing ears of grain, and then redeemed them from Hikdish while they were still attached to the ground, while they were still standing ears. So they are obligated in the laws of Peah, because at the time that they redeemed them, they had not yet been cut, and they now take possession of them, and when they subsequently reap their field, they will have to leave the corner for the aniyim. Omrim upoda omrim chayev. In a case where they've already cut the sheaves, and they made them hegdish, but they redeemed them while they were still cut on the field, but not yet gathered into piles, so chayiv. So in this case, according to the way most of the commentators read this Mishnah, this is in reference to the shikha obligation, that anything that you forgot to cut under certain circumstances, that goes to the aniyim. So in this situation, since you haven't yet gathered together in formal piles all the cut sheaves, and now you've redeemed it, so there's still an obligation in shikha at that point, and therefore, since you've redeemed it from Hegdish, you now would have to leave that over for the aniyim. The next case, kama upoda omrim petura. If you made Hegdish the standing ears of grain, they were attached to the field, and then under the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, they were subsequently cut, and then you redeem them, so then you're petura, then you're exempt from donating them to, or leaving them for the aniyim, because at the time that they would have been, you would have been obligated in the peah, it was not under your possession, it was under the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash has no obligation for peah, and therefore now when you redeem them, you have no obligation as well. Shibishas chavasa haisa patura, because explains the Mishnah, at the time that the obligation would have taken effect, when they were initially cut, they were not in your possession, but rather of the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore now you're exempt as well. Next Mishnah, ches, kiyotze bo hamakdish peirosov, ad shelo bo'o la'anos hamasros, upadon chayev. That if a person sanctifies their peros, their fruits, prior to any obligation for miser, the various tithes to be separated, and then they redeem them again at a time when it's the obligation has not yet gone into effect. This could be before this whole discussion before Shem, what exactly this is referring to, but let's just take one approach, that this is before this, all the fruits have been put into a pile, so you redeemed it before that took place, so therefore now when you redeem them, and then you subsequently put them into a pile, so now you're going to be obligated in separating the various maestros. Mishibo, continues the Mishnah, Mishibo, la'anos ha-maestros upadan chayev. And similarly, if the time that you made them hegdish, you already had an obligation to separate the various maestros, and now you've redeemed them, so you're obligated to separate them, because at the time that the obligation went into effect, you hadn't even given it to hegdish yet; it was still in your possession, and therefore you're obligated to separate the various trumos and maestros. The Mishnah continues, Hikdishon ad shelo nigmaru, v'gamron ha-gizbar, v'achakach padan peturim, sh'bishas chavaston haya peturin. However, parallel to the previous Mishnah, if the obligation to separate the maestros took place at the time it was under the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash, and then you redeem them only afterwards, so then you don't have to separate the trumos or maestros, because at the time of the obligation, it was only under the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash has no requirement to separate trumos and maestros, and now that you have repossessed them, so you have no obligation as well. The next Mishnah Tess, Mi shalaka desapeya va'amar harei zu leish ploni ani. a person is reaping their field, and then what happens is that someone comes in. There's payas left in the corner of the field, and someone says that I'm taking this paya not for myself, but I'm setting it aside for a certain poor person. Rabbi Lezer Omer Zachalo. Rabbi Lezer says that works. That's fine. The Chachamim Omrim Yitnenu La'Anya Shenim Sarishon. The Chachamim disagree and say, no, you have to give it. You can't set aside for just any poor person you choose, but rather you have to give it to the first poor person you encounter. What is the case? So the Bar Tzedur explains, Pluxot Rabbi Lezer Rabbanon Ba'asher. We're talking about a poor person who took some of the pay off another poor person, but rather we're talking about a wealthy person. Shalakat Peil is Chuspa La'ani. Rabbi Lezer Savar Amridon Trey Migo. Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that we employ two migu principles. Meaning what? Migu di'iboy mafkil and chasea. The havi'ani. How can this rich person, to begin with, even take the payah? So you employ the principle of one migu, that had the person wanted to, he could have made himself poor by saying that all his possessions are now ownerless. And since he could have done that, he himself, at that point, now being an ani v'chazilei, he then would have been able to collect the payah for himself. Hashanami chazilei umigo, and the second migo is diboy zachi lanashi zachi nami chavrei. The rule is that a poor person, since he can acquire it for himself, he can also acquire it for another poor person as well. So you have to employ both principles, two migos. Number one, he himself could have made himself into an ani, and also once he would be an ani, he'd be poor. He could acquire it from someone else as well. And the Rabbanan disagree. Rabbanan savri chan migo amrinan tre migo lo amrinan. Yeah, we say one migo, but we did not say two migos. But if a person himself is poor to begin with, and he separates, takes the payoff for another poor person, divriya kol, everyone's going to agree, the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar, Zachalo, that he can do that for the on behalf of that other ani. Continues the Mishnah, halaket that shichav the payoff sh'ov de kochavim chayavim b'mastros ella imkain hifker. That leket shichon payoff of a non-Jew, there is a requirement for maestros, various ties, to be separated, unless they were made hefker, unless they remain ownerless. Explains the Bar Tanura. Dehove eina ove kochav and chay b'leket shicha peya. Since a non-Jew is not required, there's no obligation for them to separate the leka shicha peya. So if you would then take possession of that leka, of that property, that produce, you the Jew now would have to separate the leket shicha and peya, unless they made it ownerless. If the la'anim la'ashirim, if the non-Jew made their produce completely ownerless, and anyone could take possession, whether they're poor, whether they're rich. So then, says the Bar Tanura, to hefker pater min ha-maiser, when something, when you have produce which is ownerless, so then there's no requirement to separate any maiser. And so in this case, we learn that a non-Jew, their property, although there's no requirement on their produce, lekat shechem peah, nonetheless, if someone takes possession of it, there is an obligation to give the various tithes, the chumos and the maestros, unless it was made hefker ownerless, and then you possess it, then there's no obligation to separate any chumos or maestros.